We're going Bechei Avot. We're up to the sixth chapter, the third halacha. Halomed mechavero. One who learns from their friend. Perek echad. He learns one chapter. So he learns a number of halachot from his friend. O halacha echad. Or he learns from him one halacha. One halacha can have many angles. O pasuk echad, he learns from his friend one verse. O dibur echad, he teaches him one thing. Afilu ot echad, even if he teaches him one letter in the Mishnah, he tells him there should be a vav over there. There should be a hey over there. So he taught you something. Tzarich linhog bo kavod. One has to treat him with reverence. He taught me something. Sheken matzinu b'David melech Yisrael. That's what we found with King David. David was sitting and learning alone, and Achitofel met him. And he asked him, why are you learning alone? It says that when people learn alone, so then they lose their learning. One time he saw David walking into the Bet Midrash. And David was walking, standing straight. And he said to him, it says, "Umikdashiti rao." When you enter the Bet HaMikdash, when you enter the Bet HaMidrash, you have to enter with a certain awe of heaven. So, Achitofel taught him something. And that's what it says in the Mishnah, Shelo laman ma'achitofel ela shnei dvarim bilvan. There were two things he learned from Achitofel. Achitofel said to him, you shouldn't be learning alone. You succeed in learning when you learn with a partner. And Achitofel said to him, you shouldn't walk into the base medrash standing high.
Didn't he also teach him the whole sota?
Okay. So that's a different medrash. Yeah.
When it talks about Komas Kufa, that's specifically walking into the Beit Midrash. You have the Gemara in Brachot that just says in general.
Right. It's a different concept.
Two different concepts.
Yeah.
Because the Shulchan Aruch writes that that's a kippa. But this is just literally standing up too straight.
Seems that way, yeah. Ukra'o, and when David speaks about Achitofel, he calls him Rabbo, his teacher, Alufo Yudao. Shenemar, as the verse is, Vata Enosh Kerki, Alufi Yudai. So David gives him many titles as his educator, as his teacher, as his mentor. Balodvarim Kalvachomer, so we can understand from here, Uma David Melech Yisrael Shlolaman Machitofel Ela Shenei Devarim Bilvad. If King David only learned two things from Achitofel. Initially, David HaMelech says, Ke'erki, you're my equal. And then he says, Alufim Yudai. He gives him two titles as a teacher. So from there we see, he said, you taught me two things, I'm giving you two titles. And Ka'o Rabo Alufim Yudao. David HaMelech gave him all these titles. So this is the king who learned two things from someone. Nonetheless, he gave him these titles. Halomed mechavero. If a person learns from his friend, perek echad, a chapter, or halacha echad, or halacha, or pasuk echad, a pasuk, or dibur echad, or even just one utterance, afilu ot echad, even one letter, alachat kama v'chama, shetzich linog bo kavod, how much more so that he should respect him. So, Achitofel was wicked. Says Achitofel didn't have a portion in the world to come. David was the king. And really, David should not have given Achitofel such great honors, given Achitofel's wickedness. However, David said, if he taught me, I owe him that honor. But we, Baruch Hashem, we don't deal with wicked people. So if someone teaches us something, we owe them a lot. Ve'en kavod ela Torah. We should know that Torah is the true honor. A person gains his honor through Torah. When you delve in Torah, that's where a person finds honor. As the Pasuk says, kavod chachamim yinchalu. Because people learn Torah, that's why they merit honor. The question here is what's called honor, but the Mishnah is telling us from a true perspective, the honor a person is owed is for the Torah that they've amassed. Sometimes people get honor because they're wealthy. Sometimes people get honor because they're beautiful. But that's honor that's not real. These are things which fortune can bring upon a person. A person doesn't choose what their looks are. A person doesn't choose how wealthy they're going to be. The Pasuk says in Mishlei, people who are wealthy attribute their success to themselves. People who are not attribute their failure to God. That's the Pasuk in Mishlei. However, a lot of it is up to fortune. It says certain things are decided based on the stars, based on how things play out in a person's life. It's not preordained. Right? The Gemara brings us a story. One of the rabbis was suffering. He was so poor he had nothing to eat. He had to let blood that day. And then he had nothing at home to eat except for garlic. Took a bite of the garlic and fainted. After you let blood, you have to eat something. The garlic was so sharp on an empty stomach, he passed out. So it says Hashem appeared to him and said to him, he said, Ribbono Shel Olam, look at how much I'm suffering. So he asked the Ribbono Shel Olam to make it that he should have a better parnasa. And the Ribbono Shel Olam said, that's not possible. There's a whole system I created in this world. And the way you were born, you're not going to be wealthy. But if you want, I can start from scratch. We can erase the world, start again, and we'll see how the constellations play themselves out. Maybe, no guarantees either. Maybe, in a new world, you will be wealthy. You want me to do that? He didn't say no. He said, well, how much am I supposed to live? Have I passed the 50% mark? So the Ribbono Shel Olam said, yes, you've passed the 50% mark. You've lived out more than half your life. So he said, then in that case, I don't want to start again. Then never mind. But we see sometimes people think that great people are poor and they love it. You see in the Talmud, no, it's suffering. No one wishes upon themselves to suffer, to be destitute. We look to appreciate things of true value, but we also know the value of money. We also know that money makes it possible to accomplish things in the world. We don't look at money as a bad thing. We just say whether you have it or don't have it is not only a factor of a person's brains. People can have a lot of brains and still not have money. And people can have a lot of luck and have a ton of money. One of the wealthiest Jews of the previous century, I met his son. And his son said to me, everyone thinks my father's a genius and I know the truth. So I said, what do you mean? He said to me, my father started a business which was okay. And then my father made an investment which was okay. And then my father became ill and he lost his capacity to understand business. And at that point, his investment started taking off. And things became better and better and better until he became the multimillionaire that he was. But all of this happened when he lost his faculties. Now, no one will tell you that. He said to me, but I'm telling you the truth. Everyone says, what a genius, what investments he made, how brilliant. He said to me, it's all a lie. I know when he was okay, he was making an honest living, and I know when he became a multimillionaire. And it only started after he was out of the business. It only started where his health deteriorated, he lost his hold on what was really going on, and then his business took off. And he said for the last number of decades, the man lived in this state for decades. He lived 30, 40 years in this illness. and became wealthier and wealthier. I mean, to the point where he bought up. You're talking about really one of the wealthiest Jews of the past century, and it was all good fortune. The Rebbe Shlom wanted him to be wealthy. It wasn't his doing. It was things that played themselves out in spite of him, so to speak. So that's what when the Mishnah says Torah is the only true honor, what the Mishnah is saying is there are other things that people respect. The Halacha expects us to respect a person who's wealthy. It's a Mishnah in Tractate Brachos, Maseches Brachos, the Gemara. The Mishnah describes, you're in the middle of reading Shema, and a person walks in who you have to say good morning to. Now, the Gemara says there are two types of people. There's a person who you owe respect to because of their Torah knowledge, and then there's a person you owe respect to because of their wealth. And over there, the Rush comments. You see, there's a certain amount of respect you owe someone because of the power Hashem has given them with their wealth. So there is that concept. No one's denying that factor in the development of society, that wealth gives a person the ability to accomplish certain things. However, true honor is Torah, because other things, you can be very brilliant and not be wealthy. You can be not so brilliant and yes, be wealthy. People take credit for their beauty, for their wealth, and the true credit is when a person accomplishes Torah. That's the idea the Mishnah is saying, in kavod la Torah. Torah is accessible to people. As we know, Torah is not a question of genealogy. Kohen, I can't be a Kohen. My father wasn't a Kohen. Levi, I can't be a Levi. My father wasn't a Levi. King of Israel, we'll find out one day if I'm from the tribe of Judah. I don't know. Maybe I could still be the king of Israel. That I don't know. Could be. Who knows? But Torah, that's available for everyone. You want to learn, you want to work at it, that's accessible. And that's where a person gets credit, because that involves their personal investment. En kavod ela Torah. Shenemar, as the verse says, kavod chachamim hinchalo. The wise, they get honor. And the idea here is the wise in Torah. Another pasuk says, Utmimim yinchalu tov. Those who are whole, they merit, their heritage is good. Vein tov ela Torah. And when it says they get good, that's also a reference to Torah. Shneimar, as the verse says, Ki lekach tov natati lachem. I have given you a good teaching. Torah is called lekach tov. So from here, Chazal tell us the term tov is a reference to Torah. Torati al ta'azovu. Hashem encourages us and says, don't let go of my Torah. Lekach tov natati lachem. Lekach tov natati lachem. People go through life, and sometimes they try to avoid the question, what's the point? Difficulties in life sometimes force a person to ask themselves that question. But very often people are avoiding the question. What is the meaning and purpose of what I'm doing here? The book of Koheles, Ecclesiastes, begins with the frustration of a human being. Everything passes. One day I'm going to be dead, and what difference will I have made in the world? Does it really matter what I do? I had the good fortune yesterday of sitting on a bus and discovering that the books I was planning on studying on the bus ride, I had left at home. And I found myself stuck. I knew there was a traffic jam. I knew I was going to be on the bus for close to 2 hours. I also knew I was planning on preparing certain classes, and I did not have the material. So I looked to my right, and there was a young soldier sitting next to me. So I decided if I can't study, at least I'll be kind to the person next to me. So I struck up a conversation with him. And I remembered from the days I taught in Hesder that the most important lesson a soldier needs to know is that what they do is important. There are soldiers who know. There are soldiers who are in the front lines. They're the ones entering enemy territory. They know what they're doing is important. But then you have soldiers whose job it is to clean the tanks. You have soldiers whose jobs are far less exciting. This soldier had a job cleaning certain weapons of the army, weapons that are important, but his job was in the middle of a desert. To stand there cleaning weapons in the middle of a desert is not so much fun. So I began discussing with him how a person is supposed to inspire themselves and see the importance in what they do. When you see that, then you can wake up in the morning and be excited over what you're doing. Ein tov ela Torah. Torah is what makes the world good. It gives meaning to our life. It gives us the understanding that what we do is of importance and what we do affects the world. The Torah is not only the blueprint for the world, but it is also the lesson plan for us. When a person works with Torah, then they're inspired to be a good person. When a person learns the Torah, then a person sees the value in what they do. They see the long-term goal that we aspire to as a people, as humanity. So when we learn, Ki lekach tov natati lachem, I've given you a good teaching. This goes on many levels. On the most basic level, Torah teaches a person responsibility. I have a responsibility to be good to my fellow man, to be good to the world. I am taught through Torah that I can affect the world, that I must affect the world. And so that's the most basic level of the Torah being good. On a deeper level, the Torah gives us a value system. People will face questions of values in life. Some people face them a few times in their life. Some people face them daily. If you're in the line of work that involves life and death, it could be as a policeman, it could be as a doctor. You're faced with questions of life and death often. When a policeman sees a child with a gun and he has to decide whether he'll shoot that child or not, is he going to wait and see if that's a toy gun? That moment's wait can cost his life. But if he doesn't wait, it can cost the child's life. What's he supposed to do? Ein tov ela Torah. When we're given a system where Hashem says, I will tell you. It's not a question of fads. Throughout history, there were fads. There were times where different societies said that the different values should prevail. If it was till today, there are societies that if they have a baby girl, they leave her out for the wolves to eat. We've had students here who told me about the places they grew up. Things that you'd like to imagine are behind us. That the world doesn't do such things anymore. But unfortunately, they're still prevalent. So, societies develop values, and every society promotes their values being good. The Nazis didn't say we are cruel people. The Nazis said we're good people. We're developing a better world. It was in the name of good. In the name of positive, in the name of productivity. So values change throughout history. The Baal HaTanya writes, one of the great points of Torah is its consistency. When something is godly, it doesn't change with the fads and the times. The values of the Torah, today they like to call it the Judeo-Christian ethic. That's not fair. The Judeo-ethic is long before the Christian ever existed. They changed. To put us on the same page is not the same. We're not the same. But our ethics and our system has been consistent. And that can be seen in our treatment of testimony, in our treatment of justice, in our treatment of converts, in our treatment of women, in our treatment of children. The world has shifted in their treatment of all these people. Throughout world history, the Jewish people have been consistent. Ki lekach tov natati lachem. The second level that Torah is good is simply because the Torah tells you what is good. It teaches us what's good. And finally, in Tanakh, the word tov presents the idea of connection. One of the difficulties every human being faces is his ability to connect. Everyone wants to connect. Everyone needs to connect. However, it's not easy to connect. It's not easy to connect to the guy sitting next to me. It's not easy to connect to one's spouse. Connections are not easy. At the end of the day, we each have our own desires. And to know where I'm supposed to forgo my desires and focus on someone else's desires, where do I lose my identity and where do I create my identity by giving in? The Torah gives us the greatest glue for people to connect and build. Ki lekach tov natati lachem. Torah teaches us how to retain that concept of im ein ani li mili. If I don't stand up for my rights, then no, I can't expect anyone else to. Uchshani la'atzmi ma'ani. And if I only focus on retaining my rights, then what am I worth? The balance of how to connect, that's a third concept of tov that the Torah gives us. And so the Mishnah is telling us one of the reasons that we owe respect to those who teach us Torah is because they're giving us the greatest gift. They are giving us what's good in life. I'm not going off on tangents. There are fantastic stories of the challenges that people face in terms of making ethical decisions in their life. And the gift that we have Hashem's system, is one of the greatest gifts a person can have. It allows a person to live their life guilt-free. We try, we attempt, we do our best to understand, and then we work with the tradition we have, the understanding we have in the way of the Torah. There is that gift, Ki lekach tov natati lachem. I've given you this good teaching. So that was the third Mishnah in the sixth chapter.